James is on his way. Bow heads. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this day that you give us, dear Lord, and Lord, just guide and direct us through this meeting and help us to make the right decisions for our county. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Need approval of the regular of the minutes for the regular meeting of July 21.
Motion.
Got a motion and a second. Got a motion by. I ain't got the two. All in favor? Aye. All right. Need approval of the insurance workshop, August the 4th. Got a motion, Mr. Hatt.
Second,
Mr. Stevenson. All in favor? Aye. Vouchers approval.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second,
Mr. Hatt. All in favor?
Aye.
Any constitutional officer want to speak? No. You got a motion to go in the public hearing.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Mr. Hatch, all in favor. Aye.
Hey, Julie.
Okay. We have a petition by Christina Borbonio requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 7.325 of Special Exceptions in Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an ESA zoning district in accordance with the petition dated July 25th, 2022, to be located on the property described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 26091300446715001500 at 2351 Northeast 642 Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680, Commission District 2, Dusty Mills.
Any opposition?
No, sir.
I talked to Commissioner Mills earlier today, and he has not heard any either. So is anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Motion to approve.
Got a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor.
Aye. We have a petition by David and Teresa Gayer requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.4.5, Special Exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations, to permit one recreational vehicle in an agriculture zoning district in accordance with the petition dated July 26, 2022. Be located on the property described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 03091339490002220 at 211 Northeast 582 Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680, Commission District 1, Jody Stevens.
Got any opposition?
No.
Anyone here oppose it? Anyone on the phone? Motion to approve.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Mr. Hatch. All in favor. Aye.
A petition by Heather Colburn requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.4.5, Special Exception of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in agriculture zoning district in accordance with the petition dated July 27, 2022, be located on the property described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 11081300000 is 3676-0105 at 1201 Northeast 910 Avenue, Branch, Florida, 32008, Commission District 1, Jody Stevens.
I'm on the table that. I've got trouble calling on that. I'm trying to work that out. Motion to table.
We got a motion, Ms. Stevenson, to table it.
Second,
Mr. Hatch. All in favor.
Aye.
Have a petition by Matthew David located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 19-13-12-2994-0000-0970 at 109 Southeast 230th Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680, to request a variance for the one is to build a 720 square foot boathouse, so this exceeds the 500 allowed. Two is the exceeds the 25% width of the canal by 6 feet by the petition dated July 26, 2022, which is located within section 4.7.7 RSS/NH subparagraph 2 of the Dixon County Land Development Regulations in accordance with Section 12.3 variance procedure. Section 3, Mark Patch.
Any opposition? Anyone here opposing? Is this the one that got fish on? What's that?
Well, canal is right there. They bring it all the way out to the edge, so it's going to be hinder a boat turning the main corner to go in. I ain't got a problem with building that way, but could they shift it back the other way? See what I'm saying, how they're bringing it out? They're making the mouth of your canal narrower. The boat turning, going in and out. I don't know what the width is there. So you come here cutting that corner. That's what I want to say. Kind of like a road radius.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe they could back it up. I mean, I'm just thinking it could create a problem later on, but that's just me.
Yeah, Leon, ain't that also at the zero lot line on that deal? Where are you at?
Well, use that now, it's 75 feet wide. And we're looking right here, even if the neighbor built out into the canal the same width.
Same scenario. Then. This has been properly advertised, no opposition on it whatsoever.
The boat ship that they have now is already out that far. They're going to build a three-stall one, tear this old one down.
Mm-hmm. And basically building about the same thing, just shifting it down some of them. It's a little bit bigger, right? Not much. Anyone on the phone opposed? I've heard nothing on it myself. And this is morning, I would have heard something.
We got a motion, I'll second.
Motion.
Got a motion, Ms. Hatch. Second, Ms. Peterson, all in favor.
Aye. Thank you, Leon.
We have a petition by Michael Driscoll located on the property as described as follows. Dixon County parcel number 25090904100000270 at 15 Southwest 294th Avenue, City of Massey, Florida, 32359, to request a variance for a reduction of setback from 25 feet to 10 feet at rear home to allow construction of a new residence by the petition dated July 26, 2022, which is located within Section 4.17 CRB, Planned Residential Development, of the Dixon County Land Development Regulations in accordance with Section 12.3 Variance Procedures, Commission District 5, James Valentine.
You got any opposition on that one? Anybody here opposed it?
Just to let you know, this is in River Shores, you know, all three of these.
Okay. Nobody's opposed.
He ain't hear all of them.
I don't know if he's heard anything. I haven't talked to him. That's my thing.
Man, he's on here. I'd say, let's tape him. Like, I don't know. What do you think?
So, if I might, the same class of variances that they requested previously on the other lots, they're similar to the property owners right there.
And we done passed.
Motion to approve.
You got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second,
Mr. Peterson. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. He gets here and he's had a bunch of people beat him up. We're going to
do it right.
We have a petition by Michael Driscoll located on the property as described as follows. Dixon County parcel number 25090900400000080 at 40 Southwest 290th Avenue, Dixon, Massey, Florida, 32359, to request a variance for a reduction of setback from 25 feet to 10 feet from the rear of the house to allow construction of a new residence by the petition dated July 26, 2022, which is located within Section 4.17 PRB, Planned Residential Development of the Dixon County Land Development Regulations, in accordance with Section 12.3 Variance Procedures, Commission District 5, James Valentine.
Any opposition on that one? That's same as yours, huh? In the same subdivision? Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
We have a petition by Michael Driscoll located on the property as described as follows. Dixon County parcel number 25090900400000070 at 30 Southwest 290th Avenue, St. Patrick, Florida, 32359, to request a variance for a reduction of setback from 25 feet to 10 feet at the rear of the house to allow for new construction of new residence by the petition dated July 27, 2022, which is located within Section 4.17 TRD, Planned Residential Development of the Dixon County Land Development Regulations, in accordance with Section 12.3 Variance Procedures. Commission District 5, James Valentine.
Opposition.
Same thing.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Motion to go back.
Well, before we go back.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have something. Now, in a public hearing, in a public meeting, public hearing for the annual rates for the resolutions of the special assessments for solid waste and fire. Back in July, the board approved the preliminary resolutions and rates. It's of no change at all. But the way it's advertised yearly, we have to hold the public hearing and the second reading. Now it'll be the second reading. We will vote at my time in the regular meeting. But holding the public hearing, is there anybody here opposed to solid waste for fire at this time? Hearing no, Mr. Chairman, that concludes the public hearing.
Okay.
Posting them up in the morning.
We've got a vote. Get back to the board, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor, aye.
Hey, on them couple right there. Let's table them resolutions until until James gets here, because if the resolution don't pass, it still doesn't pass. Right?
That's great.
So we'll come back to his resolutions, and we'll make sure that he don't have no problems with it.
Not do the last three.
And we can come back to
them. 2022-111, Christina Bolbonio.
Motion.
You got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Ms. Stevenson, all in favor.
2022-112, David and Teresa Gayer.
Motion.
You got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second. Ms. Stevenson, all in favor.
2022-114, Matthew
Davis.
Which one did we table?
I think that's the one we need to table.
Last three on the list.
No, with Jody tabled one also.
Okay.
Which one you want?
Matthew David, 2022-114.
Motion.
We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Ms. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye.
And the last three is?
It is. Wait till he gets here.
Hold on.
Okay. Ms. Sheila?
My name is Sheila Frierson. I'm a nurse and the community project director for the Dixie Art Corps program, which is the Real Community Opioid Response Program. And we are in a three-year grant, just finished 2 years of that grant, and it's a grant that was given to Dixie County Anti-Drug Coalition. So we just wanted to give a positive feedback to you all and let you know that the dollars that you of the commissioners, and I'm not sure I have a few more, the dollars that we've been able to put back into our community through this grant. One, of course, is with the Cross City Police Department. To date, they've received $10,000 from our coalition grant, and one of the newest things they purchased was a evidence packing station, which allows them, with the influx of fentanyl, to be able to safely pack contraband and be able to prepare it to be disposed of properly. And so, and we just gave them another $15,000. So they'll be getting more money and be able to provide for us a safer community as far as the funding goes. With Dixie County Sheriff's Office to date, we've been able to give them $37,000. And with that, they've been able to purchase a lot of equipment and things that has enabled them to provide more surveillance. And also, we have given them some extended hours for their officers to be able to work overtime and be able to help with our issues there. And there's Rebecca. And Rebecca's And then we've also been able to help with the Dixie County Emergency System. We've been able to give them $59,000. And I just went to them a couple weeks ago and told them we have probably about $15,000 to $20,000 per funded partner extra for them to be able to spend and to be able to hopefully increase some hours of operation and be able to assist us. Dixie County Meridian has received $100,000. So I made a phone call today. Paulin, who is their director, he said that their money has been spent in services provided to Dixie County residents and tablets which have been purchased that are to go to the jail and be able to assist in some counseling services so that those that are incarcerated for charges, drug charges, can actually be set up into a program. And then we also are able to help out with those upon discharge if they need to go into full-time rehab or not full-time, but a year's rehab or go to some counseling. We're able to set that up for them, too. And then also we provided services for Dixie County Youth System so that they can buy evidence-based programs that will enable them to be able to do some prevention programs within the school system and hopefully to start the youth out in a different track there. So, well, I have Rebecca Busco, who is our data collection, and she's just going to briefly tell you the reason we received this grant, and this is the end of 2 years, we have one more year in this grant.
To give you a really quick background, in 2017, Dixie County had the highest overdose death rate per capita in the state of Florida. So we knew we had a problem, we had heard that, but we didn't really know what the problem looked like. So we pulled the data, and it was rather shocking. In Dixie County, almost all of the overdose deaths were between the ages of 45 and 65. And that's what you were picturing. Wasn't the group I was picturing. Almost all of that exclusively involved prescription. So that's initially what pushed us to get this opioid grant to try to save those lives, to work on prescription safety, to work on treatment and recovery for people who are affected by the opioids. But I do want to let you know why the enforcement came into play. It's because although we were sheltered from fentanyl for a long time, much of the country's been dealing with it for years now. But in the last year or so, it has made its way into Dixie County, and it is killing our residents now. So we had two overdoses involving fentanyl in 2020. After having 2 years with no opioid overdoses, because we had really worked out with prescription safety, worked with the pharmacy. So it's really important this enforcement to try to keep that fentanyl out of our county, because when it gets in here, not only does it tax our EMS and our law enforcement, but it costs lives of 60 residents. So we're trying our best to make sure that we don't lose anyone, because even one overdose is okay.
I just want to say the words can't express what I know this board and most everybody feel about, you know, y'all helping the citizens in this county. I know you don't hear thank you enough, but, I mean, we really, from the heart, appreciate what you're
saying. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. We appreciate your support.
Yeah. Thank y'all.
Thank y'all.
Mr. Bailey.
Good evening. Don't have a whole lot. Northeast Precinct 2nd, Precinct 4, with finalizing those plans and quantities, putting caution touches on those. That would be a team next week before approval. And then moving on to getting the work out after that. We held a kickoff meeting with county staff on the fire station projects, and are starting work on the first iteration of Lake Fort Wayne. And that's all I have. I shall have something.
Thank you, Greg. Locklear and Associates.
Well, I'm here for you.
Okay. Thank you. Miss Cindy?
We had a library meeting today at 3 at the library, and she said she was not going to be able to make it whenever budget, everything looks good there. And she said just been busy, hope to slow down a little bit, but it'll pick up for school. So.
Okay. Mr. Steve? Road department? Mr. Chauncey's not here. Mr. Latson? Thank you.
Your guys gonna be able, some of them go up to the Achilles to the, on Saturday.
My son is very excited.
Some of the staff will be there, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Leon. While you up here, let's go back to resolutions. Mr. James, we had three in your district. There was nobody opposed or nothing.
Okay.
Have you heard anything?
No, I haven't heard nothing about it.
Okay.
I want y'all to forgive me. It just kept raining and raining and raining. I said, ain't nobody going to come out the second time. I wonder if that comes back.
So let's go back and finish them.
Yeah, so it was on Resolution 2022-115. Michael Driscoll.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
2022-116, Michael
Driscoll.
That's mine. I'm fine with that.
Yep. We got a motion, Mr. James. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
2022-117. Michael Driscoll is the same
variance.
I'll
take
it back.
That's
mine.
We got a motion.
Motion to approve.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
We appreciate you. Mr. Brown.
First of all, I was impressed with what Ms. Sheila was talking about when she made it left, but The funding that you see there this year is for our community paramedicine program. It's a three-year program. We're in the second year of January 3rd coming up. I think we have a little more funding for this third year. It was something Pendard was when he was the administrative chief brought to me and said he thought it would work and help. I agreed, but there was no funding. Still no funding made to the board. The state is working on that. But he worked it out so that we could get in touch with this grant. We got it set up and it went through. The plan was for last year for that to be a full-time position within the county. Fortunately, we were missing an entire shift last year because we couldn't get anybody to work. So with us being down a third of our staff, we were not able to move anyone to that position. Ms. Allison Stevens is actually the person that's doing that right now. We have gotten back to our full staffing, and our commitment was to make that full-time position. It's my intent, unless you tell me otherwise, to move forward with that right now, probably within the next week or two. The funding is there through the grant. We have positions now filled so that we can accommodate that. It has not been as successful as I wanted because she's not been able to do it. She's been working her shift and trying to work a day or two in the office, and she's not been able to follow up in a timely manner as she's needed to, and it's not all her fault. But I intend to remedy that unless the board tells me no. And, so we're going to move forward with that full-time staffing. We've already discussed it with her, and she's good with it. And we'll be working at least 5 days a week in the office, if not 7 to 12. So hopefully we'll be able to see a lot bigger turnaround next year and be able to provide documentation that shows that it is a worthwhile effort. My belief that not only will it help the aid cases and the fall, which is the two things that Scotty set it up on, but I believe it will reduce our call rate. We'll also put another paramedic in that road every day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, you can respond to some of the more lesser urgent calls, shall we say. So I'm going to move forward with that. Chief Ferguson and I have both met. She are in Jacksonville at a meeting training session, not relevant to community paramedicine, but once she gets back and he gets back, we're going to move forward with that. It is in the budget, so the grant fund, so we should be good. With the budget, I give you each folder. There's a manila folder in front of me. I'm taking it to the surface. You'll see a sheet that looks somewhat familiar to some of the things that you think you're going to use our budget. Unfortunately, I've not been able to provide this to you because we've been working out two systems because we've changed systems, and it's difficult for them to pull accurate numbers from what they told me. I did not want this to give you false numbers. So with that, we have, you'll see the monthly collections where it shows the total deposits there near the bottom. In the green line, it'll be this one. The green line, you'll see the monthly deposits each month on the total. Currently, we're at $993,351.48 for the year with 2 months left to go. And I asked them when she gave it to me yesterday if she could find me another $7,000 or $8,000 that was put into the bank already for the month, so I could tell you we had $1 million. And Miss Virginia Holly, she had $8,000 laid on a desk fixed the deposit. So we're well better than $1 million at all. That's a couple hundred thousand more than what we budgeted. So we are ahead there. We did also increase that revenue line item some next year because we're seeing some positive things there. So that's good news.
Yeah.
Y'all can study. If you have any questions, feel free to call me next week, this week, whenever, tonight, tomorrow. I'll probably be up. The other news. You have a Florida minimum wage paper in front of you. This is what the governor put out a few years ago that we've been working towards diligently every year. We've been giving pay raises every year to try to meet these requirements. In 2023, we're supposed to be at $12, 2024, 13, 2025, 14, and so on, until we get to $15 an hour. I think most of you are probably aware or have heard that after the election, the president made some changes and mandated some federal minimum wage to $15 an hour to federal staff. I think it may have fell through the cracks because there's a lot of emergency services and EMS directors that are beside themselves right now because last week, or this week actually, Monday, we received notification that effective October 1, 2022, like 6 weeks from now, anyone who is not at $15 an hour will be liable for that, and come January 1, the employees can file lawsuits to collect all back wages. No one apparently in the state knew about this, including the gentleman who's over the legislative items for the state EMS agency. I have a string of emails that are about 200. Our budget was balanced with a $1 raise. Get all of our people to that, it's going to be about $2. Fortunately, we've been moving forward. Y'all allowed me in March to give a pretty significant raise on top of what we gave. So that put us in a lot better position than a lot of other agencies right now in the rural counties in the state of Florida. There's some of these guys looking at $4 and $5 an hour pay for their staff this year in 2 months. And they're not budgeted for it, I can assure you.
How many you got?
Sir.
How many you got? I have
10 that were either at or with the raise that we had proposed. We had our budget balanced. We were very tickled. We were actually the first department this year that had our budget balanced, and I was just so happy I'd already filed it and put it away until Monday. So needless to say, we've been doing budgets all week. We had our fire and EMS budgets balanced. This may be not balanced. I went in and done a lot of evaluations. We can do $2 this year, and if we put all of my staff at $15 an hour, I will have five staff that I will have to give an additional 10, 20, 30, 40, and 50 expensive executive. But I felt like 250 was too much for everybody. That helps keep the compression of wages down. Still gives we're looking at bring this up where we would want to be in a couple of years. So our department would have been at $15, and so next year if we don't have the money for whatever rate the board offers, we could reduce that. But Ms. Jackson and I and Ms. Brenda and all of my guys, I've been adding calculators for Dalton and Harrison 11 o'clock today. But we've done a lot of shuffling of the funds that we had balanced. We've moved money out of machinery and equipment, some things that we had we were trying to get done this year. And we're able, I'm pretty certain to tell you, that we'll be able to keep the budget balanced, providing we are able to go with the millage rates that we were discussing and looking at there. And Ms. Jackie, I think, is going to cover that in a little bit. But that's going to be even more critical than it was. We had a little bit of money trying to do extra this year. This is going to take away to that, but if the board is okay with us moving forward at $2 instead of $1, all of our staff will be at the $15 requirement come October 1st. We do have to sign waivers or contractual agreements within Medicaid and Medicare systems that we are compliant. We do not sign those and get them in, then the county is liable, and the staff come January 1, 2023, and file a lawsuit against the county, and they will collect all of their back wages, retirement, so on and so forth. And I know that. So that is my thoughts on how to do it. We can raise just the ones that are below, but then that puts some of my lower staff making what my upper staff making. There's no division and no reason for movement and progression.
That was what my question was going to be. Was it going to be blanket spread across the board? It wouldn't be fair to have a man that's been there 20 years.
A
man that just started a few years ago making the same thing.
We worked very hard, Mr. Kendall and myself, to try to get that. So there's a difference between EMT and EMT firefighter or paramedic, because if we hire a bunch of EMTs and we don't give them any incentive to go any further, then they don't.
Right.
Then we can't have an ALS service because we've got to have paramedics. If we don't get that money up there, we can't hire paramedics and everybody else in the state will, and we'll again have a BLS service, and we're 56 miles from the hospital. So I think the plan that Tim and probably Chad and all of them put in place, and Scotty and I and Mr. Ferguson and Folly, is a really good plan. We are looking at some of the differences in those positions to maybe reduce a little bit, and possibly even some of the incentives for years of service that y'all graciously approved us. We're looking at maybe reducing some of that, maybe the number of years and the amounts, at least for a while. Board wants to take action on that if we can, but I'm hoping just to back on it for a little and see how that goes. But that's not something we want to do today. We'll look at that maybe in January, the first of the year. But I can confidently tell you that after a lot of struggles today, Ms. Jackie and I can meet in the morning, and we can balance that budget at the same revenues we had on both fire and EMS, as long as all we do is about $2.
I'll make a motion to do that, buddy.
Yep. Got a motion, Mr. Valentine.
Second,
Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
I included in y'all's packet, you'll see some stuff from the Agency of Health Care Administration, DACA. What happened, some more information that you need, is that apparently the state is well aware of this, because the governor passed some legislative action when they done the budget to put a lump of money. I do not remember what you may know, it was $16 million or $600 million. I think it was $600 million that he put aside to take care of this. And they are going to raise the Medicaid reimbursement rates to compensate for these monies. So they're going to raise it across the board. So it may or may not cover all of our needs or all of Fort Lauderdale's needs. We just don't know. The nice thing about the way the state and federal government works is they're not going to tell us what that number is until after October 1st. We have to balance the budget that will give a $15 an hour raise. They are going to retroactive some of that back to July 1st, I think it was. So there will be some additional monies coming in there. There will be some additional revenues throughout the year coming up. But we have no idea what it is. We have no idea how to budget that. So I can't tell you that we can do that. But we decided, Ms. Jackie and I, not to raise the revenue anymore, even knowing they're going to change it, but to balance what we have. And then if the money comes in good for the year and it's a larger amount, perhaps we might can come back and maybe do some transfer of funds and fix some of the projects we have or either pick them up next year. But I don't think it'll be as bad as it sounds, but we really don't know yet. So I just wanted y'all to be aware. I put some documentation there you can read and if you want to research. And I'll be happy to talk to any of you after the meeting or next week. Fire Station Progress, Mr. Bailey mentioned we met with him. We give him our tentative kind of wish list drawings and have his son Kellen and the other engineers. And they seem to think that we're good financially on that so far from what I've heard, and we're working what's going there. I had emailed the State Fire Marshal's office hoping that we could have the contractual stuff tonight, but I haven't gotten an answer back. That was Monday. So I'm assuming she hasn't got hers done yet, but as soon as that happens, she'll get it. That's all I have, and she'll have something else.
I appreciate everything y'all do to keep us within our means.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Scott?
I don't really have a whole lot. As Leon said, if you got any fire to put in, as I told you, we'll get him to get up that afternoon. So that's all good and going. The road department's still on track. They're going through the current process. They are in the September. On their target date for that one. And then I'll wrap that up, and then we'll do a point-to-point system for the rate for the solid base. After we'll work on that, so that's going to require some put somewhere in our place. The other thing at the point is information right now, but Commissioner Hatchin, the county manager, and I went to the thing today for their rollout of fiber. They're providing fiber to the homes. This will be about a 3 or 4 year project. I will be presenting from the Adam Chairman of the Broadband Committee, so I'll be bringing some forms to y'all to sign as we move forward as a grant process progress to push the money towards such a part of the effort, and that's what they call it on the return. And we'll be getting we'll draft some letters of support that we got to get. I'll get the committee and get those to y'all in the next few weeks. By the next board meeting, I'll have probably the.
We, Mr. Chairman, we have some tonight as far as just saying we're in support of what's going on, yeah.
That was a pretty good meeting this morning, and I want to thank you, Coach. I did too. Thank you for all your work, because you're going to be right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
A lot of work there, and I appreciate it, and I know that your board does. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, there is a couple of representatives from City Broad Electric. If y'all want to add anything at this time to that as far as notification or any questions.
I won't ask just too much. We'll really just mainly hear if y'all had any questions about the project. For some of you don't know, the Central Florida Electric has announced they created a subsidiary company called Fiber by Central Florida. They're going to bring fiber optic internet to every meter on Central Florida Electric distribution system. That's 35,000 meters, 27,000 meters, roughly. So as you said, some 3 to 4 years, it's a huge project. You have to take 4,300 miles of lines. So that's a huge project, but we're excited to get it started. I will say, everybody go like our Facebook page, because that page is a separate page from the CSP's page, because we want to make sure everybody goes there for any updates, because we will have more updates on pricing and that kind of thing. I know that's what everybody wants to know, is how much and when, which is two things we don't know yet, but soon. I do anticipate us having those in the coming months. So we post those on Facebook. We have a website, www.fiberbycentral.com. Like I said, we're really appreciative of the county saying all of y'all came to the event this morning. We really appreciate having county support. And that's what this resolution's about. It's mainly just, it's $100 approve this resolution and just kind of come out and say that y'all are behind us in the project. So. Anybody have any questions?
Keep up the good work.
Yes. Thank you very, very much.
I'll comment. Put Dixie County first.
I do have a question. So the grant funding that you're pursuing, because I know it's not secured yet, and but I know a lot of our residents have taken surveys and gotten a lot of data together to apply for the grant. So is it a case where the larger the grant input, the lower the customer cost is going to be?
Yes. Okay. So just to give you an idea, our management team has been working on this project for years, really, before running the numbers. So they have done a full, estimate working with Connexon, which is Connexon is the fiber company, our management company that we're working with. So they have done all of the estimates and everything for the cost without any grant funding included. For the reason being that we wanted to make sure it was something that the board was comfortable doing regardless of the grant money because we can't depend on it 100%. So all of the financial data that has been collected on the project doesn't include any grant money. So any grant money will just be extra, which will mainly, our hope is allow us to get some faster is the main help that grant money would be allow us to dump it faster. And then on top of it, it could potentially have an effect on prices if we were to get, a ton of federal funding. Did you have questions, Ethan?
Sure.
It's going to be a combination. I think in most cases, it's going to follow the line, whatever the system is now. So if you have underground going to your home, they would probably follow the underground. If you have overhead, it would follow the overhead and come right from the ditch right to your meter box. I think it will probably be a case by case depending on the engineers out of their department. But I do know that I think they will try to stick with whatever is there at that service now. Follow the existing situation. Any other questions?
Thank y'all very much.
Thank y'all.
Ms. Gale?
I haven't heard from her today, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Holly?
No, sir.
Ms. Angie? I
had a doctor's appointment this afternoon. Yes, I asked the question, and it'll remind me to tell you.
The banner.
Yes, so if you bring that up in your time, and we get bored of it.
I know right now. She's the one.
So the volleyball banner for the Board of County Commissioners, would y'all like to pay for that this year? I think it's $100 in support of the Dixie County Bears volleyball team.
I make a motion to do that.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, second Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Now I want to make another motion. Any of these sponsorship like that, where she don't have to wait on the meetings, or quarterback club, whatever it is that our youth is involved in.
The renewals.
Yes.
Our recommendation.
Yes. Any renewals, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
That's my motion.
We got a motion. Mr. Hatch, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye.
Automatic renewal.
Pass that on to her.
Don't use the word automatic renewal. I hate that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, can I address that?
Yeah.
Sir, if you would, will you step in
here and
over here? Can you come to the podium, please?
Step on up here to the podium.
I'll address it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
So if you received letters in the mail in regards to your vacant properties, is that what I'm understanding?
Right.
So we are in the process the past year, actually the past 2.5 years, we've been working on correcting the solid waste and fire special assessments in addition to your ad valorem taxes on your property. And what you got this year is a letter based off of solid waste and fire that you, at some point in time, if I understand, if you, that letter you received, did you get the yellow packet letter? Okay, and that was for the I mean, just the special exception at some time for an RV on those lots and on those property. Are you aware that there ever was a special exception for an RV on those properties? Are you aware of that?
Never have an RV on that property. Now, I got a permit for a building on one property.
Okay. So
never was an RV on that
okay,
property.
So at the end of the meeting, we'll get your information on that. That was just going to be a mishap on your parcel ID. So we're in the process. We get them every day, and we're having to make the corrections. But we are gathering stuff that hasn't been corrected over the past 19 years.
You're not doubling taxes, right?
We're not doubling taxes. No, sir.
Yeah.
We'll make the correction.
We've got enough trouble right now. We don't need to be making
that. You can't do that. So we will make the correction. We'll assess it according to what's on the property currently.
Okay.
So we'll do a review. So if you would,
after the meeting, we'll get
together.
I did get a call. They were trying to charge me for having an RV on there. It just ain't been an RV on there. Matter of fact,
they
haven't had power since 2009.
That's what I was asking. Yeah. So at some point, there was an RV special exception on the property, so we was collecting those impact fees based off of that information. So we'll evaluate if it's not active now, and if you don't have an active RV.
That's it. I don't even think you got a permit for an RV.
Okay, we'll correct it. We'll correct it.
Yeah. Get it with Dwayne after the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Awesome.
Dwayne?
Oh, yeah, let's try.
You got something?
I do have quite a bit of stuff. Mr. Holland. Chairman, manager's report. Action item number one, I need board approval to execute the resolution 2022-109. It's for the Capital City Bank loan for the solid waste bulldozer in the amount of $197,500.
Motion. We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Number two is board approval to execute the resolution 2022-110 for the SHIP LHAP plan, the local housing assistance plan as presented. It's SHIP, S-H-I-P.
Motion. We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, second, Mr. Valentine, all in favor.
Number three, I need board approval to execute a request for a SHIP repair reimbursement for John Papel in the amount of $14,850.
Motion. Good motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Mr. Valentine, all in favor.
Number four, we need board approval to execute the annual rate resolution 2022-118 for the fire protection services of the special assessment for fiscal year 2023.
Motion.
You got a motion, Mr. Stevenson?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Board approval to execute the annual rate resolutions 2022-119 for the solid waste and disposal services of the special assessment fiscal year 2023.
Motion.
You got a motion, Mr. Stevenson? Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Number six, I need board approval for the contract for Taxiway A and Connectors Pavement Rehab at the Cross City Airport. In the award to Anderson Columbia, based off of Pastro and Associates' recommendation, as the lowest bidder, in the amount of
$1,691,312.96. We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch, second, Mr. Valentine, all in favor.
On that same project, I need board approval to execute the work order 22-12R for Pastro and Associates, LLC, for the taxiway and connectors pavement rehab at the Cross City Airport in the amount of
$173,100. Motion. Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor.
Number eight, board approval to provide Central Florida Electric Cooperative a letter of support for the broadband middle mile grant.
Who can make that motion faster?
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor.
And then I need board approval to execute the resolution in support of it, 2022-120. By the Central Florida Electric Co-op Broadband Middle Mile Grant Letter of Support.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Number 10, I need board approval to provide the Stormwater Task Force field supervisors with two tanks of gas weekly for the purpose of providing oversight services during the airport canal system project and flood and stormwater mitigation duties.
Motion.
You got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
information items on the second page, number one. So in lieu of some of the stuff we've been working on, Holly Houghton's been working with us and a team of people, Mississippi State, flood waters and risk that we had during the flood event last year. It's a community connection dialogue meeting in September the 6th from 4 to 8 down at the school board meeting room. It's open to the public to engage participation in the dialogue about the flood risk in Dixie County, the assessments, what the presentation Mississippi State will have, and they're requesting for board staff, the stormwater task force, county manager, our members, you know, reaching out to different flooding issues at that time. So I'm just making the public aware, and we'll be advertising that. But it'll be a good initiative to show what has been done in the past year and what we're looking to do with some resilient grants coming from the state. Reminder number two, Osceola's having the new sale opening this Saturday. All Board of County Commissioners and public is invited. We have staff going, so it's from 4 to 7 up in Greenville. Number three, I've been asked to provide this every year. DOT, all your scoff and scrap programs, these are the roads that has been awarded to Dixie County Board of County Commissioners. And they go in this order that they will release these, release the funds. Basically, we don't award them. This is how we'll start receiving the grants. Sometime around December of this year, the Northeast 82nd Avenue, which is what we call locally Howe Chairs, goes from Chaffetz out to US 19 by the dollar store. Around February, County Road 351 grant agreement will be presented to the board, and that goes from where they just finished paving outside the city limits on the Horseshoe Highway south to connect to the joint that was paved over 4 years ago now. And then around April of 23, County Road 349 from where they stopped paving from US 19 all the way into the town of Swanee. So we got three pretty large projects that DOT that'll be funded this year. And again, this is a five-year program. This we put in for these roads for the past 5 years and have finally been accepted on them. As we do every year, we'll submit around December, January for an additional three roads. And I'll bring that recommendation in the next couple of months to the board to start looking at. So I just want y'all aware that you can tell the public, and we'll make this known that we are receiving these three grant funds this coming year. Number four, so in the month of September moving forward, there's quite a few board meetings that you will all be having to attend. And I just want it written out here so y'all to have. I'll send it in emails as well. But the September 1st, a regular board meeting held at 10 o'clock here. And that afternoon, we have the workshop for 2 o'clock for the can rental for solid waste. Then on September the 8th, we have the tentative budget hearing at 5:30. September 15th, regular board meeting. September 19th is the final budget hearing at 5:30. So you'll have either two meetings every week here in September.
Hadn't we voted to stop this can rental in October was the deadline?
Correct.
So we need to amend that until after this workshop.
No, the way, Mr. Chairman, if I may, the way that the decision the board's made now, that's the memos that we sent out to all of our cans that we provide to the citizens at this point, and that decision stands unless prevailing side of that decision decides to overturn that and make a change after this coming workshop. But as it stands, and the way we have it budgeted right now with solid waste is we were budgeting without the can rental program. So we'll bring all that information September the 1st at 2 o'clock. We can discuss it then, and then I can give you all better guidance administratively from that, Mr. Chairman. But my recommendation will be not to make any change at this time. That is entirely up to y'all, but it has to come from prevailing side.
I got my months mixed up. We're good.
Okay. And that is all that I have, Mr. Chairman, and there's another question.
Be sure it's posted for the board to be up there in Osceola, please.
Okay.
That's it.
That is all I have, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
You got anything from our attorney?
No, I'm Angela Ball. I'm here from Ms. Watts, and she didn't send me anything to bring to the board's attention.
Okay. All right, thank you. Ms. Hickam-Bottom?
I just wanted real quick, since y'all were talking about fentanyl, I called it two Leavis County deputies and two Leavis County Department of Public Safety members, a firefighter paramedic, and a firefighter EMT responded to an overdose call at 8 o'clock last night, and they were all exposed and hospitalized to fentanyl.
Yeah.
So it's close to home.
Yes.
Can I add a related
Come up to the podium.
Yes.
What's your name, please?
My name is Rebecca Fusco, Data and Outreach Coordinator at the Dixie County Ancestral Coalition. And I do want to let everyone know, if you are concerned or if anyone you love is exposed to opioids or could be at work, or for any reason we don't even ask, you just want to have it, we have Narcan available at the anti-drug store. You have to listen to a little 5 minutes on how to use it. Really easy training. And Narcan cannot hurt anyone, not even a baby, if it's administered and it turns out that the problem was not an overdose. So if any of you are interested in getting Narcan to have on hand, or getting it for someone that you know that might be exposed or might want to have it in their workplace, please contact us. It's normally very expensive. It's available at all pharmacies in Florida. You have to ask. But you would have to pay for it. So we were blessed through the same grant she was talking about to have free Narcan on hand and available.
Thank you.
Thank you. And if anyone wants data on our overdoses, I have handouts that go over some of that. Okay.
In your packet, there was a request for a budget amendment to begin with for this fiscal year. And it has to do with Fund 102, which is communications. And it's correcting something that's been going on since 2019. There was must have been a loan back there between the funds. And in order to straighten that all out and get funds backwards, so the general fund needs to transfer $130,000 to 102. And the net effect of that is that the $122,000 of it will come back to general from that fund, but it'll make that fund be sorry.
The book's out.
Yes, it will. And that's what I was asking. It's something that said, you know, it's cleaning these things up again some more. So that's what that request is. Is there any questions about it?
Motion. We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Mr. Steeson, all in favor.
Okay. Here's the good part.
I was putting it all away. I didn't even want to go over.
Yeah, I know. We've been working hard trying to get the budget documents for this fiscal year. What you have is some highlights and also a budget recap and an actual printout of the proposed budget that Dwayne, Paul, Brenda, and I, and the department heads that worked hard to get to this point. This is where we are right this minute. You'll see we still have to use carry forward to balance the budget, which is not the best thing, but that's where we are. It's better than it was. Still need to have work. Most of you need money. I haven't figured out yet where the money tree is, so you know we're still working on that. So
I think that's what got us where we was at. Everybody was hunting.
Yeah. We haven't spent it though before we found it. So anymore. One of the things about where we're at right this minute is we have the ad valorem revenue in at 9.8 mils, the EMS millage is at 3.2, and the recreation library is at 5. And this includes all positions with a dollar an hour raise because that gets that next step up for the minimum wage.
Be at $11 as of October 1.
And the compression.
Yep.
It gives you a health insurance increase of 4%, and it also gives them an additional $2 per hour for department heads and administrative staff. what's in there right now. Below that is some, just for your information, one of the things we normally you get your revenue estimates from the EDR, which comes from the governor's office. And normally your state revenues at least go up some. I've seen them just barely go up, but I have never seen this. Discretionary sales tax went down $344,000. That's 0.5 mils here. And that's, we were looking to be at about 9.4 is what we thought we were going to end up at. And that just wiped it out. And we just got those numbers in the last week and a half. And then they adjusted them today, again, on that website. A little bit up, but not, it was like $20,000 or something. It wasn't enough to sneeze at. But, if it wasn't for that, we would be in a more decent place. But we have gone through these with a fine-tooth comb. Where the big bucks are is in salaries. We've had to increase the fuel line. We didn't go all the way up to where it would be like $5 a gallon. We averaged it out for the year, trying to keep a reasonable amount of increase in case this rate stays the same, the price of gas and diesel stays the same like we are right now. We're looking for direction. You can see too about like the transportation that the fuel estimates, the taxes on fuel went down. I'm feeling all three of those categories.
It's sad to say, but when I got here, a lot of the taxes on solid waste and different things hadn't been touched in 20-something years. Right? We're behind the eight ball trying to catch up, and we're going to have to. And I wish a lot of the people would go to the thing on Saturday at Greenville where we have to carry the garbage to see how far away it is, what we're having to overtake. And we're still, have a shortfall because we're still behind in a lot of those departments because it was let go for so long. And my hopes is that at some point, if we get it straightened out, it'd be like everything else. You would just have an annual increase every year, and you won't be fighting these fights.
Yep.
But I appreciate y'all.
If you have in your packet is a copy of the proposed, so please look through it. If you have any questions, we'll be glad to help. If you see something that's questionable, let us know. If you see something that we're overlooking that should be cut, that's okay too.
One thing on the department head, I call the equipment that everybody's working with. On the assessment, on all those, on the repairs on some of that equipment, maybe per year, I actually could buy a piece of equipment and make a payment and be less than our repairs. You follow what I'm saying?
I think you'll find if you talk to the different department heads, they monitor that. When we talk to the different department heads that have a lot of equipment, we ask that question. Where are we on this, in your maintenance and all that. And, the things that we've made some headway in the last year and a half, just since I've been here, of replacing some of that equipment that's been more. One of the things that that Mr. Cannon put in the budget with in conjunction with the road department was to lease an additional grader, and that's where a lot of money is too, is in to counteract that repairs. So we were trying to phase in some of those leases because when you start analyzing what it costs to lease it versus what it costs to run it over the years, you really come out ahead because number one, you don't have any downtime. Because if they can't fix it, they bring you another one, and you're not behind the eight ball waiting on a piece of equipment getting fixed. The other thing is, it's not that it's negligible. What we determine is it's a better bang for our buck, I think. You know, it may cost a little bit more some years, you know, but you make it up in the, you know, in the end when you get to the wear date, wear time.
Most folks don't factor in the downtime. That's where you really lose. Yeah. When you're down, you can't work, and it puts stress on the other stuff, try to keep it up, and it's just
well, in these counties, you have too many roads to grade.
Yeah.
And you know, that, you know, if we had them all paved, it wouldn't be an issue, but you have too many to grade, so if you have machines down, it creates havoc. Mm-hmm.
All within what we voted on?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's all 3-2.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any questions? Are there any questions in the public? We'll be glad to answer anything that we can, or I can get an answer. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Please let us know if you want us to fix something.
Thank you, Ms. Jackie.
Mr. Chairman, if not, you know, throughout the year, Ms. Jackie, I don't want to talk out of turn on this, but I just want to let the commissioners know that unless something drastically changes, or if we get another email, like Chief Brown stated, and a different mandate, these will be the numbers that we present in the tentative hearing.
Yep.
Okay. So y'all let us know as soon as possible, please.
Okay.
Yeah, we can still change it. I mean,
yes.
You know,
yes.
If we need to.
But I just want them to know what they're looking at, unless they have a question on it, we're at a comfortable position to not make any more changes.
About how many hours?
So, us corporately together, over 200 hours. Then everybody individually working on it, you know, here and there, 2 and 3 hours here, I would say well over 300 hours in this budget.
That is number 11.
Guys, I really appreciate y'all putting in the time to try to get this straightened out. We know where we're at, where we're standing, and getting back up on our feet. Thank y'all. We ain't there yet, but we're getting closer.
Commissioner Otto.
Wait a minute. The audit's still looking good.
I was wondering more
how you was going to get away from him asking that.
We got a good phone call this morning. They're wrapping it up. And I'm hoping that maybe the first meeting in September that he'll be here presenting. He said, I talked to Chairman Story, he wants to meet like we did last year with the chairman and you know, Dwayne and Barbie and us, and go over it before he presents it to y'all. But it's closer.
Good.
So we were excited to hear that.
We are too.
He had a few things that he needed answers to questions on, and Martha got him a bunch of information today too, and so we're looking up.
Good.
Thank you.
Stella. So we'll just take a moment to discuss the Value Adjustment Board. Just want to let the board know that I have been unable to speak to Mr. James Spielman. So if you could choose someone else to serve as your homestead representative, because we can't do anything until everybody is set, and that's the one position that is not set. So if you have anybody else in mind, serve as your homestead representative.
We've got a volunteer.
Do I see any hands?
Are you buying something?
So when you reach out to some of the people that the fellow that came here tonight, I mean, he was just going to be a good thing for him if he's not. Some of your people that's called you through the process of this.
Okay.
Dwayne's going to handle that.
All right, so the other thing will be to finalize some dates. So I've given you some tentative dates, and I'm just going to suggest that if we could possibly organize on September the 22nd, if nobody has any conflicts for that, the attorney does not. So if y'all are good with that date, we can organize on that date.
September 22nd.
Mm-hmm. 9 o'clock in the morning. That's good.
Not the board, but the Value Adjustment
Board.
that.
Oh, no doubt.
Are you rolling that? Because I...
There he is.
Good for the 22nd.
I don't know. I've got to check into that. My anniversary's on the 20th. I'm going to go away somewhere. But, yeah, bro, I'll make it work out.
He's going to turn.
He's going to work it out.
No, he's the back.
Okay, so we'll put that out for September 22nd, 9 o'clock. We're going to organize, as far as our hearing, our alternate. If we can go with October 17th as our hearing date and 18th as our alternate, that still gives property appraiser and tax collector enough time to finish up what they need to do.
It's all working out.
Yeah, just telling them if you get it.
All right, so we're going to say 9 o'clock both of those days as well. All right. Okay, so I will just need a hold then.
I'll work on that for you.
Okay. We've got some homestead people in here tonight. We might sweet talk one of them.
Everybody's looking down at the carpet, eh?
Yeah. Anybody else? Mr. James, you got anything to say?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Football. Football kicks off tonight, 7:30. So y'all go. Yeah, y'all go support your Dixie County Bears. And also, don't forget voting Tuesday. Please go vote. Make sure your vote count.
Ready? Question on the mowing traffic for the roads.
Mm-hmm.
All this rain and vines and everything, getting a lot of calls. They can't see the intersections and stuff. What do we have to get through?
Come on, the lawnmower?
No,
it should have gotten repaired today, but I'll verify that, and it should start back working next week. I'll check and verify that. But it has been down for about 2.5-3 weeks.
The other thing is, I'm going to reiterate that the public is welcome to go to Greenville. They're going to furnish a meal up there, and they can take everybody on a tour of the site.
What time is that?
Starts at 4 and goes to 7 or so. But kind of interesting to go up there and see how far, you know, back when we talk about raising these assessments and stuff, guys, back at that time in the garbage, we had our own landfill here in the county. It was home. And now we're carrying it. An hour and a half, hour and
one way.
One way. But it's a very nice facility. It's amazing what they do up there.
Not just hauling it up there. We have to pay them when we get there.
Mm-hmm. So much time
to get rid of our garbage. We can't just bury it like we used to.
The only other thing I got is I want to start... In my district, or anybody in the county, once a quarter, I'm going to try to get that set up where I'm going to have a meeting at the community center where people come, boards concerned and stuff. I'm going to try to do it as a day event, like I furnish a meal and put some those bouncy houses or something out there for the kids to play in and can fellowship and people can talk about what they're seeing, their concerns is in the county. Like a town hall meeting, yes, ma'am. I'm going to try to get it set up to do once every quarter. It's going to be pretty quick. Seems like I can get it lined up. But anyway, I've been wanting to do that, and a lot of stuff, floods and everything, is hindered on a lot of things that I want to do. But we ain't having that right now, so maybe I can get moved forward with some other stuff. That's all I got.
I want to tell everybody thank you. We had a good meeting. And now it's y'all's turn. Anybody? Public side of anything to say? Nobody? Becky?
Okay, I'm going to step out so that I can offer an opinion. You're aware of that big pipe that comes under 351 and enters into the mouth field.
Mm-hmm.
The people that mow, the county that mows, can't get the tractor down there.
Down in that hole.
So there's...
That's what...
...the enormous freaking weeds.
Yep.
Can you spray some kind of poison on it?
That's what we just, we got a machine that's got the, that can reach down in there and get it. It's just been broke down right now.
Okay.
So that's what we just, that will get that. You know where it's
I don't know. Okay.
That is down there off of
just before you get
353. Yep, right there. Right there in that peanut field, 351 and 353, right there.
Another thing I failed to mention was the canal committee is doing great. They're doing a lot of stuff on the airport canals and other things. But, guys, we need to get, if you know anybody that lives on the canal that goes through the Hamilton, the Willow Canal, whatever you may call it, we do not have all those right of entry points filed and signed. Until we get those signed, we can't go in there and dig that ditch out and fix that thing. You know, so if there's anything y'all can do to help us, to get awareness to them, to get those papers signed, where we can get in there and try to get that cleaned out.
Can we send out additional letters to those who they have? Okay.
We're doing everything we can on our side. It's going to take some help from the public, talking to them, asking them why, you know, or what's the reason.
And we'll put a hit list out for too long.
Out of the 51, I've gotten less than 50.
So we down six. That's a good thing.
Anybody else got anything to say? Need a motion to adjourn.
Is the map and the form for that still on the county website?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
From my knowledge. I'm looking at Scott. We'll verify that, but the map is should be on there. Is on there.
The map of the canal, and then they have the
form. The form and all the... A lot of entry form. It's on there.
Okay.
Anything else? Need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Got a motion? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
What the beast
heard
something? Come on.
Take over something.